thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week, I've got Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
Asa Gray.
Hello.
Mandy Kennedy.
Hola.
And I'm your host, Jesse Kimball. If you couldn't tell, it's a morning show.
And you don't say.
I think everybody's a little tired.
I'm good. I'm good.
I'm still sick.
Yeah, I'm about to say. I think that's more of his. Mandy's tired. Are you tired?
I mean, a little bit.
I'm a morning person at this point in my life. This is when I'm up.
I can never and will never be that. The fact that I've, you know, worked an 8 to 5 for the last 3 years and I'm still not a morning person is proof of this.
Yeah. I mean, well, I went to school for like kindergarten to 12th and then I had 8 a.m. classes like all through college. And my current job makes me like up at 5:30 every morning. So like, yeah, no, like I'm like a fourth of the way through my day right now. So like I'm up.
I mean, I get it. I would be too. Like, but here we are. Anyway, so on the docket today, yes, we are going to talk about Star Wars: The Last Jedi. That's coming at the end of the show, so stay tuned. And yes, we're also going to talk about Disney and Fox. But first, a little bit of video game stuff. And this portion of our podcast is brought to you by the lovely folks over at Press Start to Join. You can check out their shows at ps2jshow.com. And Dalton, what's their upcoming video game history? Or have they mentioned it yet?
They haven't mentioned it yet. Also, their next show isn't going to be till January 7th. So you have more than enough time to check their back log of episodes. All of their history of video game history of video game is really good.
Yes, I agree. All right. So for the video game section, Overwatch, the Winter Wonderland 2017 officially launched. And we got to see all the skins. And they are all awesome. Like, I don't know if you guys, I know Mandy has seen them.
I've seen them. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Because we got a new
Roadhog.
Oh God, I'm blanking. Bastion. Yeah, we got a new Roadhog, Bastion, Sombra, Ana,
Soldier,
and Junkrat.
That's not winter.
Yeah.
Beach
I mean,
rat.
It is Christmas in Australia.
Yeah, it's just funny that he didn't get that in Summer Games. They bring it now.
I love that. All right, that's funny to me. Yeah,
it was really funny. Yeah, the joke is, guys, Junkrat is Australian. He got a it's a winter wonderland, but in Australia, a fine Christmas present is a water gun or a slip and slide because it's midsummer. And yeah, so they gave him a basically a Summer Games looking or a summertime looking skin from the last event,
or a grenade launcher because everything in Australia is trying to kill you.
Yeah,
so just an upgrade to his gun would have been nice.
No, he doesn't need any more upgrades to that gun.
No,
he really doesn't. But either way, some of the best looking skins we've seen in a while. My only complaint is that none of them are really Christmas themed.
Yeah.
And
they're
like,
just like winter themed.
Isn't it Winter Wonderland?
Yeah, but last season, a bunch of them were Christmas, or a couple of them were Christmas themed.
Was it called Winter Wonderland
last
year? Oh,
the Winston skin, too.
Okay, I mean, I don't know.
Or was that an old skin? That was
an old skin, the Yeti Winston. Yeah, they were, because you had like Santa Torbjorn last season, Nutcracker, Zenyatta, Santa May.
They put a Santa hat on Lucio.
You had the reindeer skin for Roadhog. But, yeah, this season it's all just winter-themed as opposed to Christmas-themed.
Eh.
Like, I'm fine with it. It's just, like, I don't know. Explaining it is hard. Like, I'm like that spoiled 16-year-old girl that got, like, a BMW instead of a Mercedes. Like, I should be completely happy with what I got, but somehow I'm not.
And you're just as pretty.
But yeah, that's, and like I said, it's an extremely minor complaint because the rest of the skins are really friggin' cool. Like the Ana owl skin.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I mean, but let's be real. Orisa's emote is the best thing in the world.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love Orisa's emote.
What's the emote?
She plays with a
puppy. Opens a box and a puppy pops out. And I squeal.
Didn't
did you get it?
No, not yet. Trust me.
Didn't Zarya have one where it's like she just had unending like Christmas presents last year?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I really don't know if I saw any more emotes.
No, that was the only.
I think the other ones are like a victory pose.
Zenyatta got an emote.
Did he?
Okay. Yeah, he makes like the snowflake.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Right. Yeah. Reinhardt got one, too, didn't he?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Reinhardt got a victory
intro highlight.
The highlight intro, that's it. Yeah. Because I got that, too, and it looks really
nice.
Cool.
What's he do?
He holds up the shield and is blocking snowballs.
Yeah.
And then because he's Reinhardt, he picks up a colossal snowball and chucks it.
Yeah.
I mean, he has to block the snowballs. Those are one-hit kills.
Well, I mean, against
There's
May.
A new map on May Snowball Fight. It's fun.
Yes. I actually haven't checked the new map yet.
Have you guys done the Yeti hunt thing?
It's really fun.
It's okay. I'd rather play the snowball fight. But
well, I'm so bad at the snowball fight.
The snowball fight frustrates me. Maybe I never played it on a console. Maybe I'll play it with Mandy some night and see if it's any better.
Let me know, because that's probably what I'll play it on. Because there's no way I'm going to play that on PC. There's no way. I will not have a good time.
Those people get real serious in snowball fight on PC for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
this is not fun. I was so bad. Like, I was so bad at it. Like, it was like those last games of Call of Duty we had last night.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, take three steps and I'm dead. Except I don't get to spawn immediately. I have to wait 5 minutes for the rest of the game to finish.
Yeah, that's so the worst part about snowball fight.
Take six steps and die.
At least with like the Yeti hunt, if you die, like the Mays have five lives is mm-hmm. how this game works. One person can die all five times.
Yeah.
And that did happen in some of the games we were running just in our friends group.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's little brother wanted to play, and he is not good at the game. And he was like three of the five deaths. But anyway, playing as Winston is really fun. Like, it's one of those things, like, it seems really balanced because it wasn't like every game we played as Maze we won.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, we lost as one, as Maze.
Yeah, like, it seemed to be about 50-50. But it is a lot of fun. And playing Winston is a lot of fun, but can be a little frustrating. Just because you can still get frozen. Like, mm-hmm. May's kit is exactly the same as it normally is, except her ult is replaced by a Yeti trap. And she throws down what is effectively a giant Junkrat trap.
Huh.
And Winston's stuck in it for, like, 5 seconds.
I was really hoping it was going to be the ball, but then a net falls down.
That'd be fun. So you can still freeze Winston.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a bunch of May's on you just freezing you and just shooting you with icicles. And it's kind of, like, nerve-wracking a little bit.
I completely forgot about the icicles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, 100%, even from last week. Like, I forgot she had that secondary fire. It's been a long time since I played Overwatch.
And you're playing on Nepal, like, one of the capture, like, the point mm-hmm. capture, not point capture, domination maps.
Mm-hmm.
The capture the
point. I know what you're talking about.
Point, yeah.
Oh, my God, why can't I think of what it's called? Whatever.
It's fine.
Hard point?
No. It fine. Doesn't matter. It's one of those three. The one with the, not a hut in the middle, but like the structure in the
right.
middle.
Yeah.
We go
yeah.
up the stairs and.
Yeah. And you can take like, you go up to the right on one side, left on the other side yeah. to take high ground. Yeah. Anyway, it's on that map. It's been redone. Winston spawns in a cave, the Yeti cave. And then the Maze come through on the other side. They took out the ships on either side and replaced them. One side mm-hmm. with a cave, one side with like a fence. And the Maze just walk in because they want to find the Winston and study him. And the Maze will even say stuff like, just hold on, I just want to study you.
As I shoot icicles into your head.
Well, you have to stun them somehow. They're blunted icicles.
So I just think of Mars
No, they're
attacks.
Not.
I just think of Mars. Okay, Batman and Arkham Knight.
No, the car does not run you over. Don't worry. There's shocks that just push you away.
Oh, I meant more the armor-piercing, tank-destroying rounds that are in the same clip as the non-lethal stun bullets.
They're rubber bullets, I promise.
Yeah.
That also works,
I just think of Mars Attacks. Do not run. We are your friends.
That actually is really accurate to
I
how it feels.
I just want to study you. Headshot.
But after the game is over, you see all the little Maze in like chibi form hanging out next to Winston, and he's just enjoying a steak, and they're all having a great time, and it's adorable.
So is Winston's goal to kill the Maze?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If Winston wins, it's going to be like a chibi Winston right, tearing like, apart the other ones.
Is he cooking the Maze as steaks?
It's the same scene regardless.
Aww.
Zero buys.
Zero out of ten.
And yeah, Winston still has his same kit. He can jump. He can use his
shield.
He could use his shield and he could use his Tesla cannon. The only difference is he doesn't charge his ult. He has to find pieces of meat. There are spots they spawn on the map, mm-hmm. and the sequence is random when they spawn. And Winston can see kind of like markers on the, like in front of him where the meat is spawning.
Hmm.
Once he grabs four pieces of meat, he immediately goes into alt.
So it's kind of like what Evolve did, where you had to like continuously like consume like wildlife and stuff to go up your tier. Except instead of going to your next level, it's you get your ult.
Yeah,
and all the maze go and hide.
Yeah, and they have to because if like Winston, the damage increase on his ult is crazy. If he lands on you and swings at you, that's it.
Yeah, like a one shot, you're pretty dead.
Because that's my only complaint about playing as Winston is his ult does like. I know it's mostly for like clearing a point or like you can get some people like knocked off a map, but it doesn't do a lot of damage.
Right. Yeah. Unless you get somebody like pinned against a wall.
Right. Then or someone who's super crazy low on health already, like you can coup de grace or something.
Yeah.
Or he's a healer and no one protects you every day. I may be bitter about the other night.
I played on Friday, and actually I had some games where like people played around me, which was nice. Like they let me do my job. It was awesome.
I ended up just standing up high with my friend John as he played Widowmaker. I said, F the rest of the team. It's just buffing heals for you because they won't protect me.
Jesse, or Asa got mad at me one time because that's how I used to play with Jesse. I believe his exact words is, I'm sure Jesse enjoys his personal healer, but you have a team.
Yeah, that was back when the like, one healer meta was a thing. Like, this was very early Overwatch.
Yeah, this was like the first week we had the game.
And Dalton was just stitched to Jesse's side. At one point, Jesse died, and Dalton just headed back.
Oh my god.
Yeah. The other four teammates were all still there. But
I knew where my honey was.
He wanted to get to Jesse quicker.
I got a lot of assist points on him with him. It helped.
That was awesome. And then when he started playing Lucio, he would run back to boost me back to the fight.
It's like, let's go.
Of course, by the time he started playing Lucio, that was because we got Mandy into the game and she was playing Mercy. So we had two healers.
So I was allowed to be a dummy at that point.
We had a healer who cared about the entire team.
Specifically having to heal Dalton half the time.
Hey, hey, I was booping people. You don't worry about me.
All right. So yeah, either way.
When does that go till?
Second. First. Second.
I think it's January 2nd.
First.
January 1st or 2nd.
Don't count on playing it on the 3rd.
Yes.
Do not count on playing it on the 3rd for sure. But it is absolutely a blast. Definitely give that a shot if you guys haven't been in Overwatch for a while. It's a lot of fun. The skins are really cool. The maps, the redesigns are all really, really nice looking. I need to play it more. I haven't played it in a couple of days. But anyway, some other stuff. Square Enix will not add microtransactions to single-player games. They have officially stated. They say it's more at home on mobile games.
And how sad is it that this is a news story?
Right?
Like, we've reached a point where this is worth talking about.
Yep. And because I want to say it, and it's one of those things I hesitated to believe that it was news, but I'm like, no, yeah, in this current climate, that's absolutely news, and they deserve a shout-out for good decisions.
Yeah. Which, that makes me feel better, because isn't Square Enix the one who's doing the Marvel game?
Yes.
In 2030?
Yeah. The one that we keep getting, like, the occasional clips of?
I don't think we've gotten one clip. We got the announcement, and then we got one, like, teaser scene.
I'm thinking of that VR game. Never mind. Yeah, you're right.
But now it just got pushed back even further, because now you can put more characters in it. We'll get back to that later.
All right, the Switch, this is just other like fun news, has eclipsed 10 million units sold in its 8 months of life.
Yeah, yep. Less than a year.
Dang. Yeah.
Which, good for it.
The Wii U.
Especially when you consider this fact.
Launched in 2014, if I'm not mistaken, or 2000. Because it was before the Xbox One and PS4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It came out like right before, like it came out the summer before those two came out, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that sounds right. Because Crystal lived with me, and I think she got the Wii U then.
Yes. Yeah, because she got one at launch.
Yeah, she was got really the Zelda one.
Yep. Well, yeah. She eventually got the Zelda one. It came out later. That's a hilarious story.
Anyway,
Yeah. So, yeah. It's been out since roughly 2000.
November 2012.
What?
Oh, really?
Yep.
Holy crap, I thought it came out the same year as the PS4 and Xbox One. So yeah, 2012 then, the Wii U came out. It has sold 13 million units in that time. That is 5 years and some change.
Mm-hmm.
13 million units of the Switch, 10 in 8 months.
Dang.
Which again, I've said it every time we bring up something about the Switch, I'm so glad I was wrong about that.
The system is great.
Like, don't get me wrong, there have been like some stumbles, like some of the ports have been lackluster. Some of the ports have been downright terrible.
We're looking at you,
but
UK.
I mean, it's been good. Like, it's been really, really good, and I'm excited for, like, Mario was great, Zelda was great. I'm excited for the Kirby and Yoshi game to see what those will be.
Yeah. Like, I'm really excited about everything. The Metroid game, the Pokemon game. Oh, like, there's a bunch of Nintendo stuff down the pipeline that just, like, has me really excited. And I do want there to be some better third-party support, because there have been some pretty bad third-party ports.
Mm-hmm.
Most notably when Dalton mentioned 2K, the WWE game was released, and it was just the most poorly optimized thing I've ever seen in my life.
Jesse, it was powered by molasses.
Because this was like, it looked like it was built for the Xbox 360, but it had half the frame rate that it was supposed to have.
Yeah, it legitimately was running in like 0.75% speed.
Yeah.
We talked about it on PW, but like, the most egregious thing is the entrances. When there's one character on the screen, the entrances slow down to like half speed, but the music doesn't. So like, certain entrances are very choreographed and are based entirely on timing. Like Finn Balor, who, when his music hits a certain like pause and a high note, he does a pose that the crowd does with him, and like the lighting goes with it. The lighting has just been removed from it, and now it's completely off. Like, he's 20 seconds behind what the music cue was when he's doing it, because he's legitimately running in slow motion.
And keep this in mind, folks, the Switch is not that poor of a system. So if you see this port and that's the only thing you've seen from the Switch,
you think that is horrible, which it is, but it's not its fault.
It's horrible, but that's the fault of whoever ported that game.
Yeah, like, which it wasn't even 2K. Like, I don't remember the name of the company off the top of my head that was in charge of the port.
Wasn't Wild Squirrel or something like that?
It was something dumb.
It was some third party. And it was completely, like, they just completely botched it.
But for the most part, like, the LA Noire port is apparently really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
I know people have had complaints about the Skyrim port, but for the most part, you know, it's Skyrim on the Switch.
Right, it looked fine and it played fine. It's not like the Ultimate Edition or whatever.
And same with Doom. Like, I think the best way to play Doom is on PS4 and Xbox One, but like, for it being on the go and even docked, like, it looks fine.
Yeah, and a lot of people said that it was still like really, like, Doom was still really fun on the Switch.
Yeah.
And being able to take it portable was just awesome.
Because wasn't Doom 30 frames a second? Isn't that what it played at?
Yeah,
I mean, that's playable. We don't need everything at 60. Like,
we didn't start getting games at 60 frames per second until the PS4 Pro and the Xbox One X.
But like, apparently that just needs to be a thing now that everybody just gets really high and mighty about. And it's just like, no, you can play Doom perfectly fine on that system. And I don't like the Switch. Like, I still don't have one, but I'm not going to unjustly talk crap on it.
Yeah, I mean, it runs the same frame rate. It's just not as pretty as it is.
And honestly, I think it's the same thing as, like, a gaming PC. I think, like, once you get one and, like, you put time into, like, your own Zelda playthrough and your own Mario playthrough, I think you would like it a lot. Especially for, like, any downtime you have, like, while you're working, instead of, like, okay, well, I'll find a YouTube video or something, just be like, okay, I'll knock out some moons on Mario. Like, I think that would be, like, crazy up your alley.
Yeah, I'm also surprised you haven't gotten one for that reason. But anyway, going back to poorly optimized things. So PUBG released on the Xbox PlayerUnknown Battleground, for those of you not in the know with the vernacular, is released on the Xbox One and One X. And it's still, like, it's marketed very clearly as an early access game. It's being sold in stores via digital code still, but it's in retail locations. And it actually gives you warnings on the package saying that this is an unfinished product. Results may vary, blah, blah, blah.
Well, I'm happy they do that.
Yeah, and nobody should be buying this game right now. Like, it's poorly optimized on the PC just in the first place. Like, because it's an indie developer, like, the game is massively popular and super fun, and I'm not going to take anything away from it for that. But as far as, like, the optimization of the game, like, I see people talking about benchmarks and everything else of this game having trouble running this game with ridiculous gear. Like, they're using $1,500, $2,000 PCs and still just chugging along, like, frame rates dropping below 60 pretty frequently. Like, on a good day in PUBG, if you have the, like, you can actually have, like, my loadout. I've seen people talk about this. People with, like, my level gear are getting better frame rates than people with, like, top of the line. They're the kind of people that buy, like, the new graphics cards as soon as they come out, etc. Because it's just, it's poorly optimized.
Is that still after the 1.0?
Yep.
Went live?
Okay. Apparently there are some test servers going right now because Microsoft has put some effort behind fixing this.
Mm-hmm.
For the PC, there are test servers going with newly optimized versions of the game that are running smoothly at 60 frames per second. But that's still in test, and it's not even that close to that on the Xbox.
I mean, and because like the actual like 1.0, like this is Player Unknown Battleground is now officially like it's done. Like they're still going to be working on it, and they're still going to be running updates and stuff on it.
On PC.
But like on PC, yeah. Yep. Like, and that's what I mean. Like it's so the PC version is the final, like not final product, but that's the full release.
Yeah.
The Xbox is still in the preview program, but it'll be like it'll eventually get that 1.0 as well.
Right.
And people, and like you said, they're doing a good job of at least acknowledging that.
Yeah. So it's still $30 for the early access game, which, I mean, $30 for what is effectively a full game or will be eventually, I mean, isn't
it's got,
bad.
It's got two maps that are sizable.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's the content isn't the problem. Like, it's the not finished part that is the problem, in my opinion. Because
gotcha.
Especially on the Xbox, like, it's almost unplayably bad. Watching some videos and stuff like that, they put a 30 FPS cap on both the Xbox One and the One X. The One X will let you do 4K Ultra HD, mm-hmm. but the regular Xbox One, you're stuck with 1080. The draw distance and everything else, it looks way prettier on the Xbox One X. But no matter what you're doing or where you're at, it's very inconsistent what frame rate you're going to get, mm-hmm. dropping down on both systems to as low as 19 to 20 frames per second, which is just unplayably stuttery. Like, that's WWE 2K on the Switch bad. Mm. And if you're playing like a competitive first-person shooter or third-person, if you rather play it that way, that's not okay.
No BN.
I still very much want to play it. Like, I'm not going to get it anytime soon, but it looks fun, and it looks like a cool thing. Like it looks like a cool thing that if we could get, like, people to play, like, if we could, because you can do there is, like, a 1v-all version of it.
Yeah.
But there is also, like, you can do duos, you can do teams. So if we could get, like, you, me, Kevin, and Shannon or something and run through, or even just do, like, you know, if it's only you and me or whoever else, if we can get... But it's also one of those things where it's like, I wouldn't want to be like, Mandy, buy Player Unknown Battleground. We'll play. It'll be awesome. Because then if you don't like it, or like, yeah, it does turn out to not be as much fun as we hope, then that's $30. And
I'll kill you.
Yeah. I don't want that to happen.
Yeah, see, I played...
Avengers hasn't come out yet. I need to...
I discovered that the core concept of the game is mm-hmm. not for me. Like, I understand that it is a really, really fun game. And a lot of people are really, really enjoying it. And I'm not going to take that away from anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Because I understand that I am in the minority. It's the same thing with, like, Fallout and Skyrim. I don't like either of those games.
You want some structure. Like,
yeah.
You want to be told kind of, like, at least an idea of where to go.
Yeah,
instead of just, okay, good luck.
Yeah, and, like, I know that sounds really, really appealing for some people whenever I'm playing video games. Unless I'm playing with other people, that's not what I like to do. I like there to be, like, Fallout New Vegas was my favorite Fallout game, and I didn't even finish that one. Anyway, I understand that I'm wrong.
No, I mean, it's not a wrong thing. Like, this discussion will come up again later, and probably again on Tuesday, but, like, because it's not to your taste doesn't mean that, like,
it's bad.
Your opinion is bad.
Yeah. So, yeah, and, like, I've discovered that the core concept, because I played in Fortnite's version.
Mm-hmm. Battle Royale?
Yeah, the Battle Royale version. Which is effectively the same concept.
Right.
There are differences.
They added different mechanics and stuff. Yeah.
But the core concept itself is what I had trouble really enjoying. Mm-hmm. Like, Kevin and I ran around on that because he was also thinking about picking up PUBG, but Battle Royale was free.
Right.
And he and I, neither of us knew if we would actually like the game, so we decided to give that a shot. And he and I had fun playing it and goofing around, but some people take that game really seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And that would likely ruin my fun of it.
Diamond snipers.
Oh, my God. Old diamond snipers. Anyway, so that's, yeah, it's not for me. Like, I understand other people like it. Kudos to them. I know my buddy Ben absolutely loves that game. Him and his brother play it all the time. But, eh, just not for me.
Yeah.
You might be able to talk somebody else into playing it, though.
I mean, I would like to try it, but, yeah, it's not a $30. Like, where Cuphead was $20, And I knew that the art style and like the soundtrack was going to be enough for me to probably be able to say I can get $20 of enjoyment out of getting my butt kicked like unrelentingly. And then I played it and I was like, oh no, this is just a great game. Like, so it's like that gamble wasn't really there. Whereas PUBG isn't something I see myself playing solo because I'm not good enough at shooters to do even remotely well enough in like the solo version of that. And just that extra $10 or that extra $20 is enough for me to be like, I don't know if that's a $40 gamble or $30 or however much it is.
I think it's 30 on Xbox. Okay. I think it's 30 on PC, but I could be wrong. But yeah, so yeah, it's just 40.
Like, so yeah,
that, I think it's 30 on PC as well because I've seen it recently.
Just like, yeah, it's like, that, I don't know if that's a $30 investment of.
Yeah.
If I want to sink into it, if it's good or not. Like, away, like, so it wasn't on the list, but just real quick, like, A Way Out, that two-player prison break game that the dude went nuts on at the Game Awards. So like, whereas that, like, if Dalton bought that and he's like, hey, you might like this game, try it. He's the only one that has to have a copy.
Yes.
Yeah. We can play online with only his copy. It's like Mario Kart on the 3DS.
I did see that. You could do the download play effectively.
Mm-hmm.
That's really neat.
So if like PUBG did something like that, where it's like, hey, you get a hour trial playing with a friend and like none of your stuff carries over, like any of the like customizable stuff you can get, but just like, hey, try it out. Like I would be all over that. Or like a free weekend or something?
Oh, yeah. Like if they had a free weekend, I would definitely give that one a shot.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Battle Royale was similar enough that I determined. I'll play Battle Royale with you at some point if you want to do that. But
I think I still need to update that. Like I downloaded it because like, oh, I want to try that. And it still hasn't been played. I bought Stardew Valley twice now and I haven't put us. I haven't even loaded it on PC or Switch.
I started playing that on Switch. But anyway, before we get too far off track, some comic book news. This portion of our podcast is brought to you by the fine folks at Villainous Grounds, some of our favorite people in the world, with the best comic shop in the country. That's a we have many comparisons to make because we're all over the place. We're not. They are the best of the 10 comic shops I've been to, though. And they have coffee.
And by like a country mile, too. Like, not even close.
Yeah.
On both fronts, like coffee and comics.
Agreed. Agreed. Anywho, you can find them in Perryville, Missouri. If you decide to make the trip around, if you're anywhere near St. Louis, yeah, that's close enough. It's close enough to come down.
It's worth the trip down.
Yeah, just to check it out. And if you're from really far away and you just happen to be stopping through, they have this cool map you can actually pin where you're from on.
My friend from Dallas, whenever he was there last year, did that.
Super neat.
Yeah.
So anyway, in comic book news, there's not a whole lot this week, but we talked, I think, a couple of weeks ago now, about Brian Michael Bendis got picked up by DC. So he is officially exclusive over there, and his first book, from the looks of it, will be Action Comics, and he's going to be picking that up starting at issue number 1,000.
So we're going to put bets on who he's killing first? My money's on Jimmy. Is he alive right now?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
I'm so out of the loop.
On the one hand, it's like, I'm fine. Like, yes, put him on Superman because I don't read anything Superman. I don't care about Superman. Like, I kind of want to read the Mr. Oz stuff just because apparently that ties in with like Doomsday Clock pretty heavily.
Mm-hmm.
But I know what happened, so I don't really need to read it. But yeah, this seems like a Action Comics 1000 is a huge milestone. Like, that's going to be a giant issue. Like, yes. I will probably buy it.
Yeah, because
one, it's Bendis's debut with DC. And it's, you know, Action Comics 1000. Like, I don't think it would be worth anything. It's just, like, that would be a cool thing to have.
Right. Neat collector's item.
That said, like, don't start him too big. Because I know events. Don't this.
I mean,
I'm nervous. I'm not optimistic. I'm not a fan of Bendis.
I know you're not.
If he can do, like, a grounded Superman story, I think he can do that well. It's just but what happens when all of the Supermans from all of the timelines and all of the extra dimensions come and fight Dr. Manhattan? Can I do that? I'm going to do that. No, though.
That would be, like, DC's idea. Well, okay, DC would throw out, like, all right, Bendis, we want to do a Superman event. And Bendis might say, like, let's do this. And then maybe DC will go with it. Maybe they won't. I don't know how much Bendis was involved.
And we talked about that. Like, you know, it's like, okay, so does Marvel say we need Tony Stark killed or written off or comatose or whatever?
We want to do this storyline.
You have to get us there.
Yeah, you have to. We want to do this storyline. These people are going to die, and we want you to get us there. Like, that could have been the creative process, or it could have been like,
I don't like She-Hulk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Age of Ultron.
So we don't know what Bendis's process in there. I know like Bendis's solo books, I'm a big fan of, because mm-hmm. Like he's been working on the Miles Morales Spider-Man book, which is really really good.
Jessica Jones.
Jessica Jones has been really really good.
He started All New X-Men, which was probably one of my favorite X-Men runs of all time.
Yeah, like Bendis can do like his regular books. It's just whenever like he was in charge of these events, and we don't know if it was Bendis being bad at it, mm-hmm. or if it was just Marvel like making terrible creative decisions for the events that, right. and he just did the best he could with what he had. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And I guess we'll find out when he hits DC if he does an incredible event. Like, you know, they're going to do another Crisis soon. One hasn't happened in a while.
They don't need it.
They don't.
They're doing so good.
But they're going to do it.
No, they don't. No.
They haven't had a crisis in so long.
They're not. It's not.
And whenever they put Bendis in front of a new crisis.
They're not. That's not going to happen. They're not going to do that.
Then we'll get to know.
Jesse's happy to see us squirm. That's the best part. He's just like, good, Dalton and Asa get this now.
Asa's a step away from the fetal position.
That's not going to happen.
All right. so that might happen. All right. Now then, in movies and TV, leaked audition tape for the Spider-Man sequel. Looks like we're getting Gwen in the next movie.
Keep her alive for like the next three. You have time to build.
Don't kill her immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we don't know exactly what kind of role Facebook she's going to play. Or if this is even legit. It might not be. Mm. Apparently there's some other evidence. Like this could be a fake leak. It's not confirmed. But it looks really, really likely. I watched the audition tape. It seems pretty likely that this is confirmed that Gwen's going to be in the next film. So we'll see what they do. And yeah, please don't just immediately kill her. Please. Marvel.
Also, don't please. How I Met Your Mother it.
Yes.
Also, don't Spider-Gwen her. I don't need that in a movie for a good long while.
They can't, I don't think.
Yeah, because it's an alternate universe anyway.
They can do whatever they want if they're writing the movie.
Well, I just meant, like, I don't know if Spider-Gwen is part of their... Well, I guess that came after Sony owned the...
Well, I mean,
the
like,
Spider-Man offshoots.
I imagine that it's still, like, anything Spider-related is probably Sony's.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, no, Spider-Gwen definitely came after the deal.
If they
yeah.
get Gwen Stacy, do they also get... Would they be able to do Spider? I don't know how that would work.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, just don't do it.
Oh, no, yeah. I mean, I get that. I think it would be... It could be interesting, but, yeah, that would have to be some, like, Infinity War, like, reality...
Yeah,
like dimension altering. Thing. Yeah,
or like you know, four movies down the line, you can right. give us like Gwen Stacy as Ghost Spider, because I guess that's what they're deciding to call her outside of you know the comic books. Oh my God, Kid Arachnid. I meant to look that up to see if that was actually a thing somewhere in comic books,
mm-hmm.
because or in TV. I've never heard Miles called Kid Arachnid.
We're gonna need to put some context on this, guys.
Oh yeah, so we were at Toys R Us yesterday buying presents for my nephews, and we saw on the back of the Spider-Man toy that I bought for one of my nephews, there was a picture of like Miles Morales' mask, like his version of Spider-Man. And it said underneath it, Kid Arachnid.
It does look like in the Spider-Man, Marvel's Ultimate Spider-Man, it did say, like I'm watching a clip right now, it's Spider-Man and Kid Arachnid meets Spider-Gwen. So it's Peter Parker, Miles Morales. So I guess that's like his ghost spider.
Well, I wonder if he like started going by Kid Arachnid. Like,
because
was he
Peter Parker was like back around or whatever?
Well, no, like when he first started, like when after Peter died. Because I'm not super familiar with that run, that particular run. Like, I know the high points, but... Mm.
No, he was Spider-Man immediately.
He was,
like,
okay.
He just picked that up. Because I still have the issue where Miles gets bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just Spider-Man.
Notable aliases on Wikipedia is Kid Arachnid. So it's like his ghost spider, where he's Spider-Man, but like whenever he's around a bunch of them, or just like in a team, they probably call him Kid Arachnid, because we don't want to disrespect Peter Parker. I'm assuming that's what it is.
It's got to just be in that TV show.
Maybe. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because, yeah, it's definitely not in the comic books. I've been reading Arachnid. Miles for a while. And, yeah. Anyway, that's... Going backwards, yes, we're going to get Gwen Stacy. We'll see how it goes. Please don't kill her yet.
Yeah.
Season 2 of The Punisher has been confirmed, which is great because the first season was pretty phenomenal. I don't know exactly what they can do with a second season because unlike most of the rest of the Marvel TV shows, they had a plot, they had a story they wanted to tell, because mm-hmm. I did finish it. They had a story they wanted to tell, and they told it in the episodes allotted, and they wrapped it up with a nice little bow at the end.
I have a guess, and I don't... I could see them trying to do something where he's asked to be brought back by someone.
Are you thinking you're going to John Wickett?
I can't. Not necessarily John. Like, not John Wickett as much as. I can't really get into it without getting into spoilers. Mm-hmm. But so I loved the way that season ended.
Yes.
Like 100%. The last line of that, like the last like monologue of that season was phenomenal. And you do have the potential of an antagonist. I don't think they're going to do it in season two. I think that's going to be a season three. Or maybe even second half of season two at the earliest. That said, like, I would be interesting. I would be interested in seeing that Frank Castle. Just like, okay, how do you deal? Like, I think that would be interesting. It wouldn't be, a lot of people would be upset at that because that wouldn't be Punisher. But right. I don't, like, I'm fine with a less focus on the Punisher and more of a focus on Castle. And, like, and then, of course, something's going to happen that then he's got to spray paint the bulletproof vest.
Yes.
But you're absolutely right. They did a great job of having a self-contained story and telling that story.
Yeah. And
so they did a good enough job with that that I'm willing to give them the, like, I want to see season two real right. bad.
Yeah, I do too. They left, I mean, in the show, they left one tie, basically, that could go into a second season. Mm-hmm. But as it stands, there's nothing really that happened in season one outside of this one small tie.
And like, honestly, I'm fine with that. Like, I'm fine with it just being I don't need everything to be a continuation of the previous thing.
Right.
Like, I know that's a big comic book thing, but like, okay, this adventure is over.
And
okay,
it's
now here comes something else.
Yeah.
Like, I'm.
And that absolutely looks like that's what this is going to be because, and that's the point I was getting at. Mm-hmm. Just because there's nothing really in season one that plot line completely resolved,
right?
In a wonderful way.
Oh, so good.
Like, yeah, Punisher is like that's in my top three of the Marvel Netflix now.
Yeah,
easily.
It's like we said, I don't know if you went back and listened to the show Shannon and I did with Allie,
yeah.
Where we just gushed over it for an hour. But yeah, like that's my favorite version of Punisher by far.
Yeah, no, he was awesome. Like, everything about that was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the only, like, teeniest complaint I had, sometimes the John Bernthal scream was a little weird. Like, it just seemed out of place in parts.
I loved it.
Like, I mean, I liked
did
it.
Did you watch the video?
The compilation?
The yes. minute 30?
Because, like, I remember the one where it felt most out of place. At some point, he's doing something where he's being kind of stealthy. And he just, like, you know, knifes a guy. And right before he knifes the guy, he does the scream. And I'm like, well, now they know you're here.
As like it has, like, a character trait where it's, you know, just, he just has that rage in him.
Right.
Like, it can compromise what he's actually going for as far as, like, stealth or anything like that. It's just.
Yeah. Like, I get it. But, like, when that happened, I was just like, all right. That was. All right. They all know you're here, Frank. They all know you're here, which I guess
he doesn't care.
Yeah, he really
That's
doesn't.
Irrelevant.
It's not going to save
never
them.
Never saw that feature in Splinter Cell. I didn't know I could do a blood curdling scream whenever.
I mean, it was
an intimidation shout.
It was an intimidation shout. That's what it was.
Their AC dropped 2 points.
they heard Frank Castle scream and they're like, uh-oh, guys, can I just leave? Like,
I quit. I'm out.
Because apparently this dude has a healing factor, right?
Yeah.
Like, Frank Castle has a healing factor. Like, if this show has shown me anything between his scenes in Daredevil Season 2 and every single time he gets in a fight in this show.
He went from, like, septic to just, I'm going to throw this tank at someone. Like, it wasn't anything that crazy, but yeah.
Yeah.
There was not a whole lot of downtime.
Mm-mm. No, he did not. He does not need much time for recovery at any point. It's a little
but I'm
ridiculous.
Glad. I don't even care.
No, I love it. Like, it's very comic booky.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, he absolutely has a healing factor. All right, so Hawk and Dove. You know, more of that Teen Titans news. We got to see them in costume,
mm-hmm.
and they looked great. Except Dove looks like he's 40.
So I could absolutely be right about the whole like Batman being like, "Hey, take care of them," and then he's like going to be the overseer of the group.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what their plan is. I need to know because this is it's not called Teen Titans. It's called Titans.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Despite like the headline that I read was like Hawk and Dove from the new Teen Titans. It's not that. It is Titans. But yeah, you've got 40-year-old Dove, and we've still got 13-year-old Raven.
We had some really good ideas the day we brainstormed this. I hope WB's listening, because we had some really good ideas.
Anyway, that's all we really got. They looked really, really awesome.
Yeah, I love those cut. Like, the way just the... What we got to see, it looked really, really cool.
Yep. I really liked the Dove costume. It looked very comic booky. It just looked cool.
It's because it looks like they're very much taking the Marvel movie approach of with the costumes in this, where like everything looks like it should in the comic books, but it also looks practical.
Yes.
Like, and that's...
They look like practical versions of the comic book costumes.
Yeah, because like even Arrow in the first two seasons, like he didn't get... He looked like, I mean, it was Green Arrow because he was wearing all green, but it wasn't like a comic book version.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't the bright green, like Robin Hood looking dude.
Yeah, and for a while we weren't getting that with our superheroes, but like Marvel came in and kind of fixed that. And like, I'm happy that DC's following suit now, making them look like they're, like, and even with the DC movies aside, well, no. Except for Superman's costume being too dark the first two movies. Everything's been looking really good.
Right. I like practical, but still comic book, like,
a little bit fantastical.
Yeah. I like that. I like that trend, and I want it to continue.
What would you prefer, blue and yellow spandex? Yes.
Yes, please.
I actually would.
Ooh, I know who could do that.
Disney.
Yes, we got it. That was a three-part segue. We just that
worked perfectly. All right. So, yeah, Disney has actually purchased 21st Century Fox. Guys, they did it. They couldn't get the Mutants and Fantastic Four, so they said, "You know what? I'm just going to buy it all."
Yep.
Now it is mine.
So, like, yeah, no.
Suck it.
It's the first time we got to hear that on Nerd Up.
Which, and, like, for as good as, like, as happy as we are, like, that, yes, we finally get, like, Marvel movies can now use, the cinematic universe can now use X-Men and Fantastic Four and Doom and all of that, like, that's kind of what we're focusing on, but we do acknowledge the fact that this is kind of like a
bad precedent.
Yeah, this isn't the best precedent to set for like one media mogul to just outright buy another like giant movie studio. Because like I saw something, it's like, oh, so at this rate, Disney could potentially own like 40% of movies coming out.
Yep.
And like, yeah, that's a little scary. But we choose to look past that because we're part of the problem.
So yeah, so we're going to cut all that fun out. Let's talk about how great the Marvel movies are going to be in Phase 4.
And in fairness, with the advent of the internet and the other 60% of movies that come out, it's still in Disney's best interest to make us happy. Because we don't have to watch their movies.
For a while.
Yeah. I mean, until they own everything, but then, again, right. The internet still exists.
But yeah, but until then, let's talk about how great Phase 4 is going to be.
It's not going to be Phase 4. Disney's already confirmed that.
Ah!
Yeah, it's going to be.
Because basically, they've already said that, yes, the Mutants, Fantastic Four, all of that are going to enter the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
They have now officially confirmed that. But
it's just going to be kind of a bummer that Chris Evans, Chris Hemsworth, and Robert Downey Jr. are going to like be long gone from the MCU by the time it happens.
Because, well, it might not be quite that long. But
I don't think they have many more movies in them.
That's probably true. Then again, I mean, Robert Downey Jr. For sure, but Chris Evans and Chris Hemsworth appear to be ageless.
Yeah, but at a certain point, you kind of just are
get burnt out doing the same thing.
Yeah. Which I mean, it looks like they're all having a blast, and I'm not trying to say that I think they're all like wanting to quit. Mm. I just think like with Marvel's plan and like the things that they've said, especially you know. Going around Robert Downey Jr. and like how specific they're being. I'm so tired with like the number of movies per contract.
Mm.
Like wouldn't surprise me if after the second part of the second half of Infinity War, we move into new Avengers. Cause that's kind of what Civil War
was kind of leaning towards
and teasing.
Right. Yeah, no, it's a distinct possibility. Well, I mean, we have to see what we're doing, but basically right now Disney is saying they're going to look at Fox's slate for the movies,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to decide what makes sense, like, you know, at what point does it make sense for them to step in.
Right.
So they're looking at it. We probably, like, I would be surprised if we don't have an X-Men movie from Disney by 2021.
I could see that. Because I could see them calling it with Dark Phoenix.
Yep.
We don't know like what that's going to like how that's going to resolve or like.
Right. Yeah. I mean, basically, I still think it's going to be like what I said last week. Mm-hmm. We're going to get Dark Phoenix. we're going to get New Mutants, and we're going to finish season one of The Gifted, and that's going to be all we get from Fox. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Unless, you know, they're already, like, partway through production of something else, which is unlikely. But, I mean, assuming they're not, then, yeah, I think that's going to be it for Fox's version. Obviously, we're not getting anything else from Fantastic Four for Fox. I really doubt they had. They probably had something on the slate when their contract, like, when they had to have something.
Right, if you don't use this property, then it...
Yeah, which is basically, that was what the last Fantastic Four movie was.
Yep.
It sure was.
Yeah, they have to use it in a certain length of time, or they lose it. And, yeah, the last Fantastic Four movie was literally just, we want to keep these rights.
Maybe I can get the last two people I need in my Fantastic Four action figure lineup, not Walgreens exclusives. I would be happy. I'm also looking at the toy aspect of this. If like maybe I can finally get people that I've been wanting for like 4 years.
Yeah, that's yeah. That's fair.
Again, there's a lot of bad, but
I also still really like Chris Edelman mentioned this years ago, like a 2 years ago or whatever, mm-hmm. on one episode of The Marvelous Jesse and Chris about a movie like a Fantastic Four movie that's actually a period piece in the early 90s of the Fantastic Four. I would really love to see that movie.
I'd be on board with that. Also, just using the phrase period piece with, like, early 90s, that's weird to me. Like, I'm thinking, like, 60, like 1800s. Just like, hey, man, how's that cassette Walkman? Like, oh, no.
Yeah.
I mean, but no, yeah, that would be pretty fantastic. Get it? I didn't mean to do that.
But yeah, no, and I also really want Doctor Doom.
I want Doom. Like yeah. Doom's the big one. Yep. Like I really, really, really want Doom. I wonder what talking about like the stuff that's already in production. Like I wonder if this means we're not getting that Gambit movie.
Probably not.
Or any of those like other solo X-Men films that were being planned.
I'd be surprised if we got it at this point. Mm-hmm. On the bright side, like I think Channing Tatum is still a great Gambit.
Also, Deadpool.
So, yeah, we'll get Deadpool 2 for sure.
Oh yeah, well I mean Deadpool 2, yes, but. I wonder how Disney will handle
Deadpool.
Yeah.
Now, in fairness, but like, I think that I'm not worried about that at all. I think if Deadpool 2 sells really well, Disney will have no issue making a third one in that vein. Because like, Disney owns movies.
Disney's really anti that R rating, though.
Yeah.
Disney owned Clerks at one point.
Oh yeah, and I remember like all the Clerks movies that they've made since then.
But I'm just like, that's not something they shy away from, but they'll make the money on it.
I think buying stuff that's already out there and creating new content in that same vein are what they're okay with, that's it. Like, that's the line. They will buy something that's already been established as rated R, but they're not going to want to just go out and make a new rated R thing themselves. Yeah.
And also, in fairness to Clerks, that wasn't a... the reason we haven't gotten Clerks 3 has nothing to do with any kind
of...
Well, it's not Disney.
Yeah, that dropped out.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, I think Deadpool will be fine because, like, you can still – I don't think, like, we'll see another Logan or something like that. Like, I don't think they'll ever do that. But I think they'll do Deadpool just because that's how that character is. And that character is so profitable, I think they will make movies along that line.
Part of me hopes that Disney at some point does just because they had to have seen how immensely popular Deadpool and Logan are.
I need someone who knows more about just – how making movies works to answer this question, but is it out of the realm of possibility that Disney just opens a new studio, call it something different, like it's not Disney anything, it's not Disney Entertainment, it's not Marvel, it's not Fox, it's whatever, like even just keep 21st Century Fox, like they buy that studio and just run that studio with, okay, 21st Century Fox brings you Deadpool 3.
Yeah,
like no,
Logan 2 isn't tied to,
so it's technically, so like yes, Disney owns them, but it's not, you don't get that, you know, Magic Kingdom opening and then, hey, cue, decapitation.
Oh,
blood on the screen. Like, just.
No, I mean, I imagine we'll. Like,
Chimichangas.
They will almost certainly keep that name. Like, they have with all their other properties anyway. Because mm-hmm. You still see, like, Lucasfilm stuff at the beginning of Star Wars and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I imagine that it'll still be that. I could see it being, like, The Simpsons, how they called a while back. Like the 20th Century Fox, a Disney production studio or a Walt Disney studio or something like that.
X-Force Studios.
Oh, yes, please. Yes, please. I hope they do use like that version. Because, I mean, even like Marvel and DC have created separate publishers for more mature content. And if they've been okay with that in the past, like, they might be okay with that at Disney.
Wasn't it, like, Marvel Max?
Yeah.
That was one.
Marvel, well, Image, not Image, what am I thinking? Vertigo.
Vertigo was DC's. Yeah. Yeah. And yet Marvel had another one. Marvel Max was their 90s one, and then they had one. They have one, like, now, I'm pretty sure, but I don't remember what the company is.
Yeah, I can't think of what it is. Is it just Max?
I don't think so. I don't know. Maybe they got rid of it. I haven't seen anything from
while.
Well, whenever Bendis is doing a big event after big event, it's hard to keep the smaller things in line.
Because it's the it's whatever production that Jessica Jones was on.
Yeah.
Because Jessica Jones was originally not a Marvel property. I want to say it was Image, but I'm wrong about that.
But Image, their content creators, like, keep their they keep those IPs.
Yeah. Maybe I'm thinking of IDW.
Which they might have sold to. No. They may have sold the Jessica Jones name, or they may have sold that, but.
No, I mean, Jessica Jones it was a Marvel property for sure.
Because that's one of the huge things about, like, Image Comics is they help publish new independent IPs from, like, independent creators, but they don't.
They don't own those IPs.
Yeah, they don't
IPs.
Own the IPs. So, if they wanted to go and make a movie, they have to go through the owner, not Image.
Right. Yeah, that was one of the big draws for people, like.
Yeah. So the only reason I know that is because someone was talking about that because Take-Two Studios, the people who do like Rockstar and all of that, are starting a new initiative of making AA games. So, like, not the crazy epic AAA scales, but also not like small indie titles. But they're taking these independent companies and are financing them to put out these like Hellblade. Like smaller scale, but still like very professionally done video games. But part of that is those companies get to keep the IPs that they're creating.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is kind of nuts.
Dalton, what have you found?
Icon Comics.
Icon. That's it.
But that's also the same thing where, like, whenever they create it, whenever the creator creates it, they get to keep that property. So I don't know. I'm just looking at imprints of Marvel. And right now.
But they also may just, like, use that studio to be like, hey, write this character. They don't get to keep that character because they're basically leasing it out.
There was a Max at one point.
Yeah.
Where it was just Max Comics. Because it was Marvel Max and then Max Comics later.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not seeing... Like, right now, the only thing I'm seeing is Icon. Marvel Edge was a defunct... Ugh, that's gross.
But, like, Marvel and DC, like, they have that history of, like, going mature.
Yeah,
like, that precedent is there, whereas, like, Disney is very... Like, they're the ones who stepped in with EA because of the bad image they were getting and, like, the rumors of, like, the gambling backlash.
Right. So, yeah, I don't know exactly how Disney's going to handle this, like, Deadpool and Logan. I really hope they
do. I just want a statement. Like, just give us a statement like, hey, you know, we know you're worried about, you know, you have concerns over these properties, but this is our plan.
Right.
Either way. Like, I'll be disappointed if they say we are going to be focusing on family-friendly content. That'll be a bummer. Deadpool should be rated R because he's best at rated R. But there are ways you can get him PG-13.
Yeah.
Like, and have it done well. Like, he's the Ultimate Spider-Man. You can't say you're killing someone. I'm going to unalive him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. My thing is, and this is, I'm kind of the opposite of you on that, of, like, after seeing the Deadpool movie and assuming that the second one is going to be as good, if not better, I hope so. I don't want them to be like, all right, well, I don't want them to make Deadpool anymore in the movies. Like, a cartoon movie, I'm fine with. That doesn't bug me at all. But, like, I don't want to see him in an Avengers movie.
See, I think they could do it well. Like, I get that.
Yeah.
But, like, I do think that they, like, one of the common Reddit ones was, like, you're only allowed one F-bomb in a PG-13 movie.
It's the S-bomb. Yeah.
And so Deadpool, like, keeps getting ready to say it, but then he gets cut off, so he can't say it. And then finally, like, at the end of the movie, he's, like, in the process of saying it, and then Wolverine, like, takes it, and he's just like, just the heartbreak of, like, now he can't say it because he knows the rules of PG-13 movies.
Yeah.
And okay, I kind of like that.
And the way that, like, Ryan Reynolds plays Deadpool, like, him doing that fourth wall break, I know that's not a popular opinion in our friends group, but, like, I would be okay with that.
It was done well in that movie.
That fourth wall break I'd be okay with. Just like that really subtle one where if you're not actually looking for it, you don't know. But I do really like that
idea. Or, like, I can just picture him just like someone's tied to a chair. He's interrogating him. Okay, kids, we're going to get a little R-rated. So he just pushes the camera to the side and you just start hearing, like, power tools and screaming and then, like, maybe a little splash goes past the camera.
I would also be okay with that. All right. We don't have a whole lot of time left, so we're going to finish up, get Mandy back involved here.
Hey.
with the Star Wars Last Jedi spoiler free. We're going to keep it kind of brief. I'm going to talk to Shannon. Hopefully we can do a show this week. It's a full-on Star Wars spoiler heavy
discussion
on the show.
And then
show,
a week
the
later we'll do another one because that's how we did last movie. No.
Yeah.
So yeah, basically we're going to keep this one nice and brief. Like, I'll go ahead and start. Last Jedi, I want to start with, I enjoyed the film. I really liked it. It's not in my, like, minus a couple of scenes. Like, if there were a couple of scenes that had not been there or had played out differently, it would be in, like, my top three favorite Star Wars films. But as it stands, it's down with Return of the Jedi. I really, really liked it, but I have trouble giving it a full price.
I keep forgetting how divisive Return of the Jedi is.
Oh, yeah.
Because you saw me do the head nod when he did it.
Not even that. Just like when you say, because I heard down with Return of the Jedi, I was like, oh, that's like my second one. Oh, no, it's not. It's like my third or fourth. But
it's my first.
Yeah, Return of the Jedi is my least favorite of the original trilogy.
Which is fair. Like, that's not a discussion we're getting into. I just always forget that people, there are, like, Return of the Jedi is the best one. Return of the Jedi is garbage. And there's very little in between.
It's true. Yeah, Return of the, I guess putting in that scale is not really helpful when it is kind of divisive on that.
About to say.
Oh, don't worry. This movie is super divisive.
Yeah, I would say that of Star Wars films that we have currently, this one's tied for number 5 with Return. Return is probably my 5th favorite film.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably where I'd put it. Yeah, that's about accurate. I might change that on Tuesday. Listen,
yeah.
Because that was just a quick me running through. Anyway, I hesitate to give it a full price because I know, like, it has a lot of obvious flaws that I was still able to enjoy. But I personally think it's worth seeing at full price in the movie theater. I don't think it's going to be better or as good, rather, at rental, especially. It's easily a matinee. I think it's worth full price, though. Mandy, what you got?
I liked it. Now I'm not used to talking. I'm tired. I liked it. I just really want to watch Poe Dameron. It was really my only favorite part of the movie. I was also very tired during that movie. What a surprise. I need to stop seeing these movies when I'm half asleep. I'd probably give it matinee, just because there are some parts that I was like, I can't even handle that right now. And I also just find Kylo Ren atrocious, and I hate staring at him, and I don't like him as a bad guy. So, bye.
Well, that'll do it, folks.
So, it was a cool Star Wars movie. I like The Force Awakens better, though, I think.
Yep, me too.
But hey, Poe Dameron, you awesome. He's like the best part of that movie. That's all I got. I'm not prepared for this.
You've had since Friday.
You knew this was happening.
Nah. Mandy is very tired today. All right, Asa, what you got?
I hated it. Like, I hated it. There are a couple scenes in that movie that could have ranked up as some of the best scenes in all of Star Wars. But they botched them somehow, either the lead up to it or the follow through from it. Some of them are just atrocious in general, like that one that we talked about last night. I hated every second of that one.
Mm-hmm.
Tune in Tuesday. But maybe. We'll see. But so I wanted to like it. I thought the acting was amazing. Like, I like Kylo. Like, he's bordering on the thing. Like, I think they all have a better sense of their characters now. Like Finn, Rey, Poe, and Kylo. I think they have a better grasp on who they're playing and what they're doing. And they play them amazing. Like, the acting in that movie is amazing. Some of the set pieces in that movie are amazing. I felt like they moved away from the heavy dependency of practical effects and moved too far into CGI. And I noticed that and really didn't like it. And there were so many points that I didn't like with Force Awakens that they had to use to build their story for this movie, that it was already kind of in a hole for me. But then some of just the blatant, obvious plot holes, I could not look past it. Like, it just, it killed it for me. That said, it's a Star Wars movie. It's a matinee, because those movies are beautiful, and like, the set, like, the music is amazing. Some of the cinematography is amazing. Like, I want to get into specifics, but I can't. But you know what I'm talking about.
Mm.
Oh. It's so good. But like the movie that it's wrapped around is so dumb. The choices that are made both in character and in direction, like I don't see how anyone could go there.
The comedy they try to force on
I hated the forced comedy. Like there were so many just forced jokes. I hated the porgs. Like
it felt unnatural to me.
I don't remember who said it, but someone pointed out, it's like, this is the first time that I'm like, oh, that's a Disney choice. Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, that makes sense to me. So, like, but yeah, like I said, it's a Star Wars movie. You should see it in the theater, because those movies lend themselves to the theater experience. And, like, maybe I'm being too critical of it. Maybe it's just because, like, I hold, like, Star Wars at a higher expectation than, like, other forms of media. But it's the scene from The Office whenever Andy is interviewing for the manager position and Gabe just like totally lampoons him. And so he's in his car screaming, I wanted that to go better. I needed that to be better. That was me like leaving the theater, because it was a better movie than Force Awakens, but I liked it less than Force Awakens.
Hmm. All right, Dalton, what you got?
I'm going to say Matinee, but I can't decide if I hated it or not. I'm gonna have to see it again. Like, hopefully I can catch it before our show Tuesday. Like, I think I'm gonna try to watch it again and then do the show, because I cannot decide if I liked this movie or not. And there was, like, everything that Asa said is the exact same feelings I had for it, but I loved Force Awakens, so I'm thinking maybe I just didn't like this particular, a lot of the choices they made. It looked amazing. Like everything Asa said, it looked amazing. The action sequences looked awesome. The fighting looked awesome. There was so many visually just amazing moments. But it's the whole wrestling thing of being like, well, the wrestler can only do as good as, like, their promos can only be as good as what's written for them. Everybody did an amazing job, but what was written wasn't good, in my opinion. And I think I'm going to need to see it again. I would say Matinee for sure, because that's what I'm going to go see it on. Like, I'm going to do a $5 Tuesday for it. But this, I was not blown away by this like I was Rogue One. I was not blown away by this like the way I was Force Awakens.
Yep. All right. Guys, that's going to do it for us. Again, we'll you know, obviously check the internet. We'll make sure. But I don't see Shannon having a problem with us doing a Star Wars show on Tuesday. Or at the very least, we'll do one on Thursday. I imagine that's going to take up a lot of the conversation on Thursday.
Anyway.
So, regardless.
Because we can do like a Tuesday Star Wars Spectacular episode 6 at this point.
Yeah.
Because Force Awakens, we did
two.
We did at least three
episodes, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because we did like a preview one, and we did at least two reaction shows.
We did two reactions, because it was two different casts.
Yeah. So, episode 4, a new movie.
We'll see how it goes. For now, guys, hit us up on facebook.com/podzilla1985 and patreon.com/podzilla1985. We love interacting with you guys. Please talk to us. We love doing it. And that's going to do it for us, guys. We'll see you guys possibly on Tuesday. Otherwise, catch y'all next week.